done. I was working with a man yesterday and realized that I need to do a little bit better communication on something, and I wanted to try to help a little bit tonight. I don't know if I have enough time to do it, but I'd like to give it a go anyway. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. I realize sometimes when you can understand something and not communicate what you understand very well. And I realized yesterday that I need to do a better job of communicating, you know. But language has its own barriers. It has its own obstacles that you have to work. It's better than grunting, I promise you that. It's better than grunting. But it still has quite a few limitations. So yesterday I was trying to explain types and about parables. And I made the comment that there are no types in parables. And that seemed to create confusion. Well, I want you to know, first of all, God's not the author of confusion. And when you get to hermeneutics, the science of studying the scripture, there are rules to live by. There are rules that govern how you go about that. And that's one of them, that there are no types in parables. But that created some confusion, and I'd like to try to address that if I could, and try to help with understanding. Because I understand it, but that doesn't mean I explain it well. Okay? So, explaining time. Explaining time. All right. A parable is a lesson, a story, an event, and a happening that is cast along something that everybody already knows. It's not something unknown. It's already known. It comes from two words, parabolo. Para, you know what para is. Then bolo is a ball cast alongside. So it is a something that is cast alongside of something. Somebody's having a difficulty understanding a spiritual reality, a spiritual truth. And so a parable is cast alongside like this. Cast alongside of that difficulty to better understand the spiritual reality of what is seeking to be taught. The parable is not a confusing matter at all. And if we go there, we will cause great harm to hermeneutics and the study of Scripture. You know, if you want to find followers of cults, all you've got to do is get this messed up and you'll have a ripe audience for it. Okay? But let me explain, because it can be difficult to explain and so that everybody understands it. Now, first of all, a type is a shadow. Let me try to give it to you in writing. A type is a shadow or symbol or antitype is the fulfillment, the reality, or the substance of that. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. It's usually fairly short. The one we're going to look at is only one verse long. It's only one verse long. They are well-known established truths that the audience, whoever's being addressed, they already understand. It's not going to help if you have something presented to you that's supposed to help something you don't understand by presenting something that's already confusing. So whatever is rolled alongside here to help understand this is something you already know. You already understand. You already have a good grasp on that concrete example that is given. Now, what I'm not saying, I know this is improper English, I'm not saying there's nothing in that parable that cannot be a type fulfilled over here. What I'm saying is, in the parable itself, in the concrete example, practical example that everybody understands, so there's no confusion. You with me? None of this is talking about something other than what's being talked about. Now, it's very important that you understand. So if I say, well, let me see if I can explain the Holy Trinity. It's like is a key. It's like an egg. An egg has a shell, has a yolk, and has the yellow, which is my yummy part. I like the yellow. Miss Doris, you know, I like the yellow. I could do away with the white. But it would be used as an example, a type of the Holy Trinity. All right, now, by the way, it falls way short because the yolk is not an entire egg. But okay, you get to understand. If I present that to you and I say the Holy Trinity is like an egg. The egg is the parable. I'm casting alongside of the Holy Trinity an example of an egg. You don't take the egg and make it an orangutan. You don't take the egg and make it anything of produce or dairy. You leave it exactly as it is. So if I say, all right, what it's like really is tires on a car that go round and round. When I say that, the concrete example that is given in the parabola are rubber tires that go round and round. And there's never anything else in the concrete, in the parable, they're never anything other than a tire. So with that understanding, you would say, there are no types in a parable. In a parable. But because of the difficulty of language, you say, well, wait a minute. In that parable, there are types which are fulfilled in the anti-type, such as the seed of the farmer, which is sown. And we know the seed is the Word of God. So the seed is fulfilled in the Word of God. However, for you to understand the concrete, the parable, you can't make the seed anything more than a farmer's seed that he wants to see in the ground and grow. That make sense? All right. If you start going down the road of changing all of this and making it, who knows, whatever it may be, you can concoct all kinds of false doctrine and teaching out there. All kinds. And so that's why it's imperative that we understand. Now, strictly speaking, the concrete, there are no types in parables. It defies the very meaning of a parable and the help of a parable. Because the parable, the purpose for the parable is to eliminate confusion and bringing about understanding. And so if I make a seed be anything other than a seed, I'm already working counter against the intent that God would have us to do. Okay. The classical verse that we deal with this is found in Matthew chapter 24. All right, I want you to look there. And just one verse, and that's verse 32. So the question, of course, is the end time, and the disciples want to know that. And he talks about, learn the parable, see in verse 32, of the fig tree. Well, somebody says, well, the fig tree, the olive tree, they kind of represent Israel. Now, can you find passages where a fig tree or an olive tree represents Israel? Yes, you can. But that's not the purpose of a parable. So you've just got to follow the rules. Okay, so now learn the parable of a fig tree. So it's a parable. There are no types in the parable. So what is being talked about? A fig tree. A tree. You don't make the tree Israel. And what happens is when you make the tree Israel, making a force a type inside of the parable, now you get to say, well, Israel was reborn in 1948. And so in this generation shall not pass away. You got 40, 50 years. And that's why you had so many flim-flam artists, preachers, running around saying that Jesus Christ will return in 1988. And when that didn't happen, they wrote new books. And they said, well, 1998. And a lot of people bought in and got scared, just like at the Y2K. Remember that? Somebody says, what did you do? I filled up a gallon jug of water. That's what I did. That's the sum total of what I did. Y2K. Down in Florida. I was down in Yulee, Florida. And I filled up a gallon jug. And I said, well, at least I'll have something to drink. You say, what do you do from there? Well, I know where plenty of springs are down there. I wouldn't starve to death. I know a country boy can't survive, as Brother Garrett would tell me the other day. You know, I know how to survive. But it's imperative that we understand this. So, all that it's saying, let me tell you something that you already know. Something already concrete. That you're already familiar with. And we're not going to talk about something hokey pokey that you don't really know what we're talking about. No. The parable of a fig tree. When his branch, the fig tree's branch, is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. End of parable. All right, it's just as simple. When you see a fig tree bloom, and that usually happens, about, Miss Debbie said, about a month from now, right? About a month from now, our trees will start to bloom. And you already know when you see your trees bloom, summer's just around the corner. And that generation shall not pass, not the generation that started in 1948. It has nothing to do with Israel. Now, what indirectly does, because they're asking the question in regards to all of this stuff taking place. But it's a fig tree. And it will be nothing inside of the parable, in the concrete, not the abstract, but in the concrete. It'll never be anything but the fig tree. That's all it is a fig tree. So when you make the fig tree Israel, now you go chasing your tail. Start running all these rabbits, and next thing you know, oh, what are we going to do? The Lord's got to return in 1988. Well, it's already passed. Sorry to tell you, it's already come and gone. God is not the author of confusion. There are plenty of things that we don't understand in life, and we don't have all knowledge, and we never will. But we should not complicate the Scripture by following scientific methods. You understand what I'm saying? Scientific methods that do not find good hermeneutic rules. There are rules. If you want to play ping pong, there's a rule book. You want to play basketball, there's a rule book. You want to interpret Scripture, there's a rule book. And one of those is there are no types in parables. It's something you already know. And what they often would use are things like farming, pottery. That, so when you read those things in Scripture, you say, well, I know what that's talking about. But if you start getting hokey and make it something else, you're going to err, not knowing the Scripture, nor the power of God. And so I was saying, well, there's no types in parables. And it was understood that what I was meaning is that in that parable, there's nothing that is a type fulfilled in an anti-type. No, that's not what I mean. There's the rub. There's the difficulty of understanding. So you could say, in a sense, there are no types in a parable. In a different sense, Brother Kevin, Brother Rick, in a different sense, there are types in a parable because they're speaking about another spiritual reality that's sought to be taught. See that? But in the main, you can say that maybe in the main or in the concrete, not in the abstract, but is that right, Miss Debbie? In the concrete, if you're talking about a rat, you're talking about a rat. If you're talking about a dog, you're talking about a dog. If you're talking about a tree, you're talking about a tree. And then you extrapolate from this practical, concrete thing you already understand to the greater spiritual truth, which is being helped along by something concrete you already understand. Did I do okay? If I could, I'd have Miss Debbie up here, but we don't believe in women preachers, that she just might get a little bit carried away about that, you know. A lot of women just looking for that opportunity, you know. I'm kidding. She would never do that. But I felt like, man, I haven't explained that very well. And I don't want to be the one that's bringing confusion. I want to be the one that helps solve things that are maybe already confusing. All right, we're not going to have an invitation tonight. Let's stand together for prayer. Oh!